Even though it seems like they were called from fishing, they're called from fishing to fish. And let's not get confused before we get started, but verse 16, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Heavenly Father, we, Lord, are just blessed by this time that we can come in from the busyness of life and our schedules and find rest and comfort. Lord, just as we take the opportunity to praise, Lord, and focus on you, Lord, I pray that you would minister to your children this morning, open our hearts. Lord, call us closer in our relationship to you. And Lord, just continue to pour out your Holy Spirit that that flame in our hearts would burn brightly to share, Lord, all that you have done, the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody we come in contact with. Lord, bless this time. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And Lord, I pray that nobody would leave without having decided to follow you wholeheartedly. This morning we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Very popular bumper sticker, gone fishing. I think that there's other bumper stickers. I couldn't come up with them because I'm not really a fisherman or one who goes fishing all the time. Better one day fishing and not catching a fish is better than a day at work or something, or I don't know. They've come up with all kinds of things, but people that love to fish really have a passion and love to fish, don't they? And Jesus is going to call four men into ministry and a discipleship. Seven of the 12 disciples that become the apostles, seven of the 12 were actually fishermen, which is very interesting. But as he comes upon them and as he is beginning to minister in that area of Galilee, it says, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, and we're going to find out Simon ultimately will be given a new name, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. That'd be kind of brutal if he was casting a net into the sea. You got to be very careful with this language that God has given us. For they were fishermen. It's not the first time that Simon and Andrew have met Jesus. And as you study the scriptures and the timelines of the Gospels, it's really interesting. It kind of gives you a bigger picture of what is going on, what has already gone on. The Gospel of John tells us that Simon and Andrew, as well as others that Jesus will call specifically, were originally disciples of John the Baptist. It was a few months earlier, as they were standing with John the Baptist and heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God," that Simon and Andrew turned, and it says, and they followed Jesus. And so they had already met Jesus, and they were going to spend a little time with him as they begin to follow him. They started asking him a number of questions. One of them was, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And the invitation was open for them to come and to see where Jesus was living, what he was doing. It was at that time that Jesus would speak specifically to Simon and kind of start giving an idea of the calling that would be on Simon's life. He said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah," or Simon bar Jonah, "but your name shall be called Cephas," which means rock or stone. It says that after Simon and Andrew had taken up with Jesus and started to follow and walk with Jesus, it says then Philip and Nathanael joined Jesus. Together they attend a wedding in Cana, and it was at the wedding that Jesus began the signs that manifested his glory and his authority and his power. And it says the disciples then believed in him as he turned water into wine. Yet Jesus' ministry was just at the starting point. If it had blown up right at the beginning, it would have been too soon. The authorities would have come after him. And we're going to see that his ministry starts in Galilee and moves then, he moves his headquarters to Capernaum, and he ministers throughout all of those areas in the cities, in the Jewish cities as well as in the Gentile cities, before he goes to Jerusalem and offers himself up. But it was the very beginning. It was not yet in full swing. And that those that Jesus is going to call as his disciples already had believed in him, yet they had returned to their occupations. Now we're going to see that Jesus is going to call them into discipleship. And we're going to get an idea of what discipleship is. Gone fishing is the call to discipleship. We must note here that the 12... And the 12, and we always look at the 12, right? And the 12 are special, and there's no way that we could possibly do what the 12 did or could be like them. And so much of what God has called all of the church into often gets pushed off to the side because that's just for the 12. That's just for the pastors, right? That's just for the elders. That's not for me. What we need to understand is the call that Jesus puts on the lives of the 12, and beginning with Simon and Andrew and James and John, he has put on each and every one of us as we give our hearts to him and receive the invitation to follow him. And we're going to see that in their lives. These are the group who follow Jesus and are going to grow. There will be a point where the 12 are called out of the general assembly. They become the 12, the apostles, as we often call them, those who are with Jesus to the end. You see, a great many of Jesus' disciples at this point and up to this point, and as it grows, are going to ultimately desert him. Here in Mark, we are shown that the 12 had a very personal calling. Many of the other disciples likely were not called as these men were to follow, but because of the buzz that came with Jesus' ministry and the message that he was preaching, it was something new, it was something fresh. It wasn't what the law had laid down according to the Pharisees and the scribes that started choking out faith and people's desire to seek the Lord. But there was this buzz going around, and no doubt they were hanging out to see what it was all about. They were learning about Jesus because they were with him. Around the time Jesus feeds the 5,000, we're told most of the disciples will leave Jesus. But to the 12, we're told in John chapter 6, verse 60, starting at verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Verse 68, but Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I just want to, and I may not have interjected this originally into the message, but this gives an indication of what Peter had laid down and what he had sacrificed in order to follow Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. I don't want to get ahead, but keep in the back of your mind, Peter didn't have a business to go back to. Okay? And I'm going to talk about how some people teach otherwise. But he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? If Peter had a place to go back to, if he had a fishing business and everything else, he would have said, well, you know, I guess I could go back to fishing. It's all there and it's all ready and set. He said, basically, we have nowhere else to go, Lord. You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And so Jesus already knew each and every one of them and that one would betray him. But he called the 12 specifically because they were going to be the ones that the church would be built upon as they would go out and spread the message through the Great Commission. And then, and really what we see here is the original call to discipleship, and it will ultimately result in disciples making disciples and what we are called to. But here we see Jesus calling them. It says, verse 17, then Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, they were fishermen. There was something else that Jesus was telling them that they were going to be. You know, I'm sure that for those that love to go fishing and love, probably one of the greatest signs you could put up on the business door is gone fishing, right? But imagine what they're telling, you know, Jesus is telling these guys. They can't write a sign and put on their fishing business, gone fishing. It wouldn't make much sense. But there's a lot of people that would probably like to be told that. Jesus says, follow me. It's an imperative form. It's come hither in the old English format. And he says, I will make you become fishers of men. It was not a new concept, the term fishers of men. Jesus didn't coin the term, so to speak. It was a term that was used pretty widely at the time to describe philosophers and teachers who were trying to capture men's minds. They were giving and putting out their ideas and their teachings, trying to persuade men and women to follow them. It wasn't a new concept. They would cast out the net, so to speak, of their ideas, hoping to capture or catch followers, disciples of themselves. Now remember, at this point, they knew Jesus. They had spent some time with them, witnessed water turned to wine, observed Jesus firsthand. They saw his character. They saw his compassion. He was familiar to them as he approaches with this calling. I wonder if they had been talking about Jesus the past few months, wrestling with what the future held for them. Maybe Jesus had told them that this day was coming, that he would come and call upon them. Had he prepared them for this day, that they were going to be a part of the kingdom plan of God as Jesus would go around preaching the kingdom of God and repentance of sins? I wonder if they thought life with Jesus would sure be easier than the fishing gig that they had at the time. You see, fishing takes patience and it takes perseverance. Fishing is hard work. There is an undercurrent of faith that's displayed in fishing, a throwing the net into a small little section of a very vast area. Now, today it's all down to a science, right? Water temperatures, how the terrain is underneath the water. They know where fish hang out and stuff like that. They didn't have that kind of science back then. And so there would be a display of faith as they would go out and cast their nets in the very large seas, hoping that the fish were in the right area or were in the area that they were at. I remember fishing with Dan the plumber. You all know Dan the plumber? That guy's got a fishing problem. And I pray for him. He is a guy. I think he puts it right on his plumbing van, gone fishing. And then he takes that out with the boat behind him. Well, I went fishing with Dan, the plumber, at a fellow, the fellowship camp out, and I think we just talked about that, right? Great time. They go to a place out by Fenton. There's a lake there, but Dan likes to go to a bigger lake, and so he took a couple of us out fishing. And, you know, it was a couple of years ago, and I don't mind fishing for a little while. Cast the lure, reel it back in. Cast the lure, reel it back in. And Dan, he's whipping it, and he's got it. He's putting it all kinds of places. I'm just hoping I don't hit somebody else's boat or anybody in the boat. There is a challenge to it that I guess kind of keeps me, in tune, but I'm not the most patient person. Some of you may find that alarming. But I like participating in things that bring a real, tangible, immediate result. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Casting and reeling for 15, 20 minutes may be a challenge. After that, I'm thinking, man, especially that day, I'm thinking about Bruce's, bacon grease laden skillet back at the picnic grounds, and I could be eating something good there. I remember we're talking to Dan, and all the conversations that you have, and of course the fish experts, they know exactly. Well, you should be, there's probably a fish over there, and you see that over there, that's where fish like to hide out, and we'll go closer to the wall because they like to get up close to the wall, and so we're all over the place. We're having the conversation. It's kind of keeping me, my interest to a certain extent, but of course I'm asking, maybe it's the lure, do I need to change the lure, should we move? And he'd tell me, listen, I'll bet there's some over there, and he kept pointing, so you just cast and right reel, and so that we did that for a while. Eventually I'm thinking, like, what gives? What is the attraction? This really stinks. I could be relaxing. So my mind's drifting back to camp. And then that's when Dan quipped with something very profound. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this before. Pastor, that's why it's called fishing and not catching. Did you know that? If I'd have known that beforehand, I may not have. But with a little patience, a little perseverance, some faith that maybe I would catch one on the next cast, I kept going, maybe a little complaining and grumbling along the way too, to myself, of course. I would never do that to Dan. Eventually, though, we did start catching some fish, and it was a pleasant time. It really was a time of great fellowship, and I rib him still sometimes because he won't still admit that I caught the biggest one that day. But Simon and Andrew did not know it yet, but they had been prepared for what was ahead of them, and Jesus knew that because they were already fishermen. And notice this. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately means directly, forthwith, or shortly. In over 80 times that the word euthos is used in Scripture, it is translated immediately or forthwith except once. And that is found in 3 John when John says, I trust I shall shortly see you. But just the word immediately, when it comes up, it means immediately. Just like all. It's amazing the word in Greek for all. Do you know what it means? All. It's the things that you get to learn as you study the Bible. I remember flipping through channels in the past, back when I was in California, and many of you probably don't know, and if you've never been to California, it was the big deal as the mega churches started becoming a big deal, the Faith Dome. Anybody ever heard of the Faith Dome in LA? I mean, they made this big, giant building down right in the middle of Los Angeles. And so I was flipping around just to kind of see what the guy was peddling, and he's a prosperity preacher, and he began to suggest, and he was in this very scripture that day that I had come across it, and he began to suggest that nobody with a successful business like Simon and Andrew would just walk away from it without first making arrangements, you know, for somebody to manage it and that the equipment was taken care of and that, you know, their bank. He starts going into this big elaborate preparation that they would have obviously done because they had this successful business. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of interesting perspective. Until he said, you see, you have to read between the lines. You ever heard anybody say that? Now, I got my Bible and checked. There's nothing to read between the lines. In my Bible, anyways. I don't know what he was reading from. Which suggests to me they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Does anybody have a hard time with that? Oh, I checked in Matthew 2, where it says, immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. And you know what I found between the lines there? Nothing. Wasn't there either. Yet people want to read into these things. And these men, they put down their nets and they followed him. When he had gone, verse 19, a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. James and John, it says, I believe in the book of John, that Jesus gave them the nickname Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Pretty amazing. James is believed to be the first of the apostles put to death for his faith. And it would be John who was to become the beloved of the Lord, or the one that Jesus loved, and become the apostle of love, the son of thunder. Really kind of interesting when you look at what he finds James and John doing. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but they're mending their nets. They're not casting. This gives a picture that they're into restoring and repairing. Very compassionate hearts that they ultimately will display in their ministries. But we see them him come to James and John, and immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. They left immediately also. We don't have to read between the line here. They left their father's business to follow Jesus. They didn't leave him in the lurch. They didn't just say, pops were gone, leave him in the boat and go on their way. They obviously had a very successful business. They had hired servants. They had employees that were going to be able to take up the slack for their absence. I find it fascinating that Jesus did not go to the schools of higher education. The first disciples were not the power brokers of Jerusalem. He didn't seek out the famous or the charismatic. He goes to a sea and he calls a bunch of fishermen. They weren't highly educated. They weren't masters of theology or doctors of divinity. They are whosoevers, the whosoevers that Jesus calls to discipleship. That's why Jesus told them to follow him. You see, a disciple is a student, a follower of. This kind of came to my heart as I was thinking about this. Listen, not everybody is going to be called into the ministry, called to leave their positions or their businesses or their professions to follow Jesus Christ. But we are all called to put our labors aside. You understand that? He says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and be my disciples. Be my students. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, Christian, to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. To learn from him. That is what Simon, Andrew, James, and John would do for the next 3 years as he prepared them for their ministry. It's not what they knew, what they possessed, their position, their power that made them the perfect candidates for it. It's what they were going to learn about Jesus as they spent time with him. Jesus, listen, does not necessarily call the equipped, but he will absolutely equip those that he calls. And the call to discipleship, Christian, is simply follow me. And if you have answered that call, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have been born again of the Holy Spirit and washed by his blood, saved by grace through faith, then you are his called to be a disciple, to learn from him. Did you know that you are a disciple? Oh, no, Pastor, you're talking about the Big 12. I'm not one of the Big 12, right? Sometimes we can play these tricks in our minds. They were called to be apostles. You may not be called to apostleship. In fact, those, you know, the original 11 plus Paul were called to a different ministry, to lay the foundation of the church. And that foundation was laid along with the prophets of the Old Testament and the Old Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation. Now there are evangelists and pastors, teachers. But listen, it includes everyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. The purpose of discipleship is to make fishers of men, to make more disciples. Oh, but I hate fishing, Pastor, you may be thinking. You know, it may have been okay for the Big 12, but I don't think that's for me. Those 12 disciples, they were different. They were fishermen, most of them. Isn't that interesting? I was a fundraiser guy. Doesn't make any sense that God would call me, right? But he has called me to be a fisher of men. Well, you're a pastor, right? Isn't that what we always think? Oh, you're the pastor. You're called to do that, not me. You have to be a fisher of men, right? Who has he called to be disciples and to be fisher of men? 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There's no escaping that list. You may not be a James or a John, a Peter or an Andrew, but you are to be a fisher of men. Maybe it won't be so daunting if you understood the simplicity of it. And I want to make three observances of what it means to be a fisher of men. First, as you read, you have to be in the boat. Simon and Andrew were casting their nets into the sea. On another occasion, we find that they were casting net, they were fishing, and they were not catching anything. Jesus tells them to do what? Throw the net on the right side. But the observance is, in order to cast the net, you need to be in the boat. James and John are in the boat when Jesus comes to them. Listen, Christian, everyone who has been called to follow Jesus are in the same boat. And we're called to be disciples. You may not be called to have your job or leave your job or position or business, as I said, but you will need to put it aside. You will need to put it aside at times. And go out and cast the net to share the gospel. And that's the second thing, is casting. Simon and Andrew were found casting their nets. You can't catch a fish unless you are casting the net. Or for the, you know, modern day, not many of us go net fishing unless you're throwing the lure out and reeling it in. The goal of every fisherman, listen, is not in the cast. It's actually not in the hooking of the fish. Before you haven't caught a fish, if you've just hooked it. The goal of fishing is to get the fish in what? In the boat. Once it's in the boat, then it's caught. We're all able to cast to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what a fisher of men does. He casts. He tells others about Jesus, what he has done for you, what he has done for others. The sad thing about discipleship, it seems to me today, is, and I've got a number of discipleship books, is they've put so much to it and made it so hard. You got to do this, and this is what a disciple is, and you have the disciple, and the disciple's disciple. And then, they make discipleship hard. They make it not very attractive. Have you read any books on discipleship before? It's simple. We're called to learn from Jesus and then cast to see if anybody else can be lured to the boat to receive salvation through Jesus Christ, to have their sins forgiven and washed away. The third observation I'd like to make is when Jesus comes upon James, the son of Zebedee, it's kind of an interesting name. Isn't there a song in a movie? Zebedee Doodah? Zebedee? No, that's... Sorry. I have to throw a bad one in. That way you know I was really working. James and John, what were they doing? Well, first, we find them, what? In the boat. But they were mending their nets. The word mending is to repair and to restore. And when you think about John, the apostle of love, I think you get a picture of the ministry that he would ultimately be called into. But isn't that what Jesus came for? To repair and to restore? To repair broken lives and broken hearts? To restore man's relationship with God? Isn't that what he came to do? To mend? You see, that's what he's done for me. And that's what he's done for you. In Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so we're to cast the message of the gospel to see who might bite and bring them in, to let them know that Jesus Christ came to repair, to restore, sight to the blind, to the spiritually blind, to heal broken hearts. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see, Christian, it is the call for every one of us. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then every once in a while, we need to put up the sign in our lives, "Gone fishing," and go share what Jesus Christ has done for us. Heavenly Father, sometimes we lose sight of the simplicity of what you've called us to. Maybe it's because we think it's for somebody else, that somebody else is equipped for it, or that you've called them specifically. And Lord, even in the case of being fishers of men, it wasn't just the 12. It was for all who would come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would go out and we would share the good news, cast the net. And we know, Lord, sometimes it takes patience and perseverance, prayer at times, and a little bit of faith. But each time we cast, we hope that somebody will hear the message and receive salvation, that they'll get into the boat, that their broken hearts will be repaired, that their relationship with you will be restored. That's our hope. And just need to be reminded sometime, you've called us all to discipleship, to learn of you and be fishers of men. And if we haven't taken the time out to put the sign up, Lord, and go out and start fishing, I just pray that you would rekindle that fire in our hearts this morning. Lord, sheep beget sheep, we know that. And we've all been called to evangelize, to tell others about what you have done for us. Lord, it goes outside of these four walls, and we're blessed to come in and receive from you and be restored and renewed and refreshed, revitalized. But Lord, we need to carry it out to the dying world. Help us all to be better fishermen, Lord, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand.